Let's give him praise. He is in our midst. He is with us today. Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Lord God, we realize that you are not a God of accidents. You are not a God of perhaps. You are not a God of circumstance. You are an intentional God. You're a sovereign God. You're an omnipotent God. You are a forever God. You are the God of all things. And today, God, we see that in this church, you have placed no one here by accident today. And so, Lord, I pray that our ears are open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church of the 21st century. God, we are so thankful that you have not left us. Lord, we must confess we have been a perverse and wicked generation. Lord, we have even done so in the church. We have turned you into an object instead of a person. We have, Lord, declared you and sold you and marketed you, and you would turn those tables over today in despise, just as you did in the temple of yesterday. But Lord, we come today as those who seek, knowing we will find, because Jesus is absolutely real. So God, teach us today. And Lord, I pray for this service that you release us today. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus against fear. That we not fear the Spirit. We embrace it. If we've not seen it before, it's okay. But teach us, God, that you are madly in love with us in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Wow. Today I told you we were going to a pastor's conference. I'm glad you're here today. The Holy Spirit's already started moving here today. And I want to give great thanks for that. And also I want to give great encouragement to you. We have sat in our seat in this church too long. And we got to remember what God has called us to do. So I want to just simply talk to you today about how to share the gospel to other people. And I pray that you hear from the Spirit that this is a serious message. This message is what God's called us to. We've already gone over that in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, that we might go. But I want you to see that very clearly, okay? We go. So we gotta be on the move. How many of y'all realize that following Jesus Christ is a movement? It's a movement. So, Mr. Briggs, here's where I'm trying to get, okay? I believe that, we can easily become an establishment and lose the movement. Do you see what God's trying to tell us at Hillview? You see, when Hillview began to begin again, see, this church, this very church that you're in, it illustrates what God does. How many of y'all have ever just messed up before? How many of y'all went to church and God told you not to do it? You left church and went out and absolutely did what He told you not to do. Any of y'all ever done that before? Let me ask you a question. Who hasn't done that? Because I want you to preach. You see, we all have had these moments where we have just forgotten who we are. And I would propose to you that that's much of life. That in transition, sometimes we forget who we are. You know why there's a lot of divorces? We forget we signed a covenant. We forget that God's greater than the problems we're facing. You know why you don't see a lot of divine healing? Because you see, we've forgotten that He's a healer. You know why you don't see a lot of churches where a lot of people are getting released? We forgot He's a God of movement and not a God of establishment. And so as we go, ye therefore. I mean, man, for those of you that have grown up in the church like me, I've heard that a zillion times. And now here's where your pastor is. Every day, especially since the start of this year, so how many ever days we've had, 26 of them or something like that? God has been redefining to me what it means to go ye therefore. You know, used to I would have said, Steve Carter, I can't believe I have to say this now. When I was a young pastor, I believed go ye therefore was to anchor up a big surge and a charge and go do something grandiose. And now I'm repenting of the sin of wanting grandiose things. You see, God's grandiose. God's the grand scheme. And now I think I'm grateful to be a micro follower in a great kingdom. And for some reason, there's a lot of glory in that. It's just a lot of moments of understanding that every one of us is a part of what God's put together. Y'all seeing that? So to go ye therefore means, first of all, to let God come into you. Okay, you can't go till He comes. Because you don't have anything to tell. I'm always asked the question, why are the American churches, why are they not evangelistic? I'm not sure a lot of us have anything to talk about. Other than a church service. And that's not powerful enough to change the world. You see, I want to show you basically what you need to be sharing with people. And to go ye therefore means first, let God come and change you. You know, God, I'm very sorry that you're going through a tough moment right now. But you know what? His wife passed away last night and we got to be a part of her baptism and her awakening to Jesus Christ. God, I'm glad you're in church because you're with your family. And really, in a real spiritual sense, Carol and us, you know, when we kind of get in that realm where you go, oh, I'm not sure where I'm going, but I think my feet are still on the ground. I think in some way the great cloud of witnesses and the most holy God and those of us that are still here on earth for just a millisecond kind of realize that God's got this whole thing figured out and He really is the beginning and the end, even though our little hard drives here can't understand all that. But it's in a moment of worship and in God's glory falls into His people that we begin to understand that there's something greater than me in the face of the earth. It's a guy named Jesus who's real, who's loving, who's powerful. To go ye therefore means this, to live your life in faith and share your living with other people. Cecil Goff, you're one of the best evangelists I've ever met. Somewhere down there in Ohio County, Jesus got to you. Because you know what you know how to do? Tell stories. Go read the New Testament. It's a book of what? Stories. It's not fill in the blank. It's here's God. Here's what He's doing. Come join it. So church, I do need to encourage us because you know what? I also think we might need to repent a little bit because I think maybe we're a little bit tad bit arrogant. You know, we see a lot of baptisms here and here's what's so sad. Doctor, guess what? We think it's enough. You know, I read a Bible where on the first day that God's Spirit fell upon the earth, 3,000 were baptized. And I don't know why we don't want to live up to that today. You know, we're kind of like, well, God, we want you to move, but don't you move like that. God, we want you to move where we can handle it. And God, we want you to move where we can understand it. And God, we want you to move where we can be comfortable with it. I'm just telling you right now, if you've got a comfortable life with no expectation, you're not following Jesus. Because He's an uncomfortable dude. Kathy, God will call you to a high school with 26 nations. And then guess what He'll say? Figure it out. You say, Lord, what's the plan? And He says, trust me. He says, but Lord, I can't speak Bosnian. He says, Kathy, I can. But Lord, I don't know where they are coming from. Guess what God says? I do. Church, I want you to dream with me very simply, but very boldly. Your life's important. And for just a moment, I just want you to look at your neighbor and just tell them that. You're important to me. You're my brother. You're my sister. I mean, I want us to really sense that. You're my brother. You're my sister. Mark, your life's important to me. Kathy, your life's important to me. My sister, your life is important to me. Make sense? Marcia, your life is important to me. Now I want to give you a way to share your faith. Has everybody got this disorder? Y'all feel the Holy Spirit in here, okay? Now, watch this. The Holy Spirit didn't show up today so that we can leave whenever we're going to leave today. I don't know when that is either today. If we cause a traffic problem, that's good. Won't be the first time Baptists have cussed. I want to apologize to you guys as your pastor. I quit being who I was called to be a few years ago. I got chiseled on enough. I got beat on enough. Got talked about enough. That I started backing off. I'm not usually a sissy, but I confess to you, and this is very hard for me to do, I've been kind of a sissy. You know, stepping back a little bit, saying, man, if we do that, God, if you do that, they'll complain. And you know, I just really, after 16 years, I just got really tired of dealing with people that just major on such stupid stuff. Just got old, got weary. But here's where I went wrong. I submitted to it. I got to laughing because when we started this church, they said all kinds of stuff, and I didn't listen then. And I said, God, what happened to me? He just kind of laughed, and he said, you made of flesh. And at the core of your understanding is sin. I said, you know, God, you're right. You know, when you get a lecture from God, you get to say that a lot. You're right. He said, at the core of my being is the holiness of God. Now, the good news is, by grace, that holiness is in you. And sometimes I want us to really ask ourselves, God, what have you called us to be at Hillview? Simply this, a church. I don't apologize for being a church. We're not a gathering. We're a church. We got crosses in our building, and we sing about the old rugged cross, and I believe the Bible's absolutely true, and I believe the Holy Spirit is in here, and I believe people need to get saved. And sometimes I quote verses in King James because that's the way I memorized them when I was in the fifth grade. And you know what? We're a church. And I think it's okay to be a church. But we want to be a church that is in the world. And you say, well, why do you want to be a church that's in the world? Because I've read the book. And he said, go ye therefore really into the world and tell the story. So Jack, you know, here's what I want you to know. You're in the ministry, brother. Okay? You're in the cow ministry. And all your life you've been around cows. You've raised cows, you've fed cows, you've sold cows, you've given shots to cows, you've loaded cows, you've unloaded cows. But most importantly, you have cooked cows. In a very real way. Jack, I know I can pick on you lovingly. You ain't done cooking. So you ain't done. Y'all ain't going to retire. I ain't going to let you retire. You got too much zip and zap. So you're just buying into an old church mentality that says when you get gray hair, you're supposed to retire. Or Joe, when you lose your hair, you're supposed to retire. It's not true. See, first of all, here's what I want you guys to know today. Everybody's got a part of this message. And as you all can tell, our pastoral staff's been under some real prayer and some real correction. And I want you all to know it's okay to be corrected by God, okay? And the first thing is I want us to realize that everybody's got a piece of this puzzle. So first of all, there's no retirement at Hillview. There's no retirement. Okay, till we have the last breath, we're going to tell this story. We got a lot of kids to raise here. I'm excited about that. You know, it's kind of weird for Elizabeth and I. I look at Blake and Clacy. I don't know what happened, but they're growing up. They're going out the door. And they're going to take on the journey that God's called them to. And I'm excited that God's in their life. And then I look around and I see a lot of these little dudes. And I get excited because Elizabeth and I, when we were looking at maybe having a third child, I looked at Elizabeth and I said, okay, you know, sometimes I'm manipulative. Do y'all understand that? And I looked at Elizabeth and I said, all right, honey, it's a third child or a Harley? She said, go buy the Harley. Then, you know, I woke up and I said, you know, really, the Lord didn't lead us to have a third child because He's given us about 750 of them here. And now we can invest in making sure that they know the story. Is this making any sense today? I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. I don't want to ramble. Does it make sense, Briggsy? See, I mean, you got a beautiful baby boy already here, and you got another one on the way. God's wanting to put His story inside people. That's all Hillview's ever been, is the story of Jesus for 16 years. Now, hear me very clearly. I don't want us to go back to where we were. Okay, that would be a heresy. You can't ever go back to where you were. If you go back to where you were and start lifting up things to God, if you go read your Old Testament, you call that strange fire. Because what once was has already passed. That's not where we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live in that God is here in the presence, anticipating what's going to be. You know, I would have to take, you know, Joel Osteen's book a little bit to task. My best life's not now. A more theologically correct title would be, not that that would be important in today's Christianity, but it would be that I'm having a great life in Christ now, but there's a better life awaiting me. You see, that would line up with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that the best I can do right now is see dimly in a mirror. So what you see right now is not the full deal. People ask me and said, Do you believe in a full gospel? I said, no, I believe in a dim gospel. Best I can do here on earth is dimly see what God. And I said, even God's dimness we claim as His fullness. That's how powerful He is. I think if God showed us everything that we were about, we'd go blind. And He's come so that we might see. And so I want to give you a way to share the gospel and just tell the story. I'm going to really ask you, I want you to know something. We have a large church here, and that doesn't excite me one bit. You're talking about a depressing kind of pastoral life. You know, they told me in seminary, if you got a bunch of people in the church, you'd been successful. Well, I've had a bunch of people in the church since I was 26 years old. Guess what, Pastor? Whoop-a-dee-doo. Van Halen's got a bunch of people. Jimmy Buffett's got a bunch of people. In fact, we don't have one superstar preacher that ranks the attendance of one superstar rock star. Billy Graham can't even match up to Garth Brooks as far as crowd drawing. It takes Billy Graham's organization 3 or 4 years hustling a place to get a crowd. Garth Brooks says, I'm going to do a free concert right there in Central Park, and he's got over 1.5 million come. So Pastor Gary, guess what that led me to believe? I've been lied to. Then I got to reading that book right there, Bible. Jesus never got into crowds too much. He'd leave them. He'd give them a benediction. Most of them would leave. Sometimes He just dodged them. Go read the Gospel of Mark. For those of you that think Jesus is there to take care of your every whim, it will shock you. In fact, He saw the sick and afflicted and went to the other side. Didn't want to fool with them that day. You know why? He's more than our illness. Jesus is not a doctor. He's a Savior. He said, I've come so that you might know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and become eternal. Yeah? All right, well, here's the church. Today I want you to learn how to tell the gospel story. And I'm going to encourage you to tell it to everybody you know. Build relationships and tell them this. First of all, we're going to do it in 3 P's and double R. How many of y'all can do 3 and 2? 3 and 2. How many of y'all got 3 and 2? There's the story. I'll give you a story. 3 and 2. 3 and 2. Now watch. Here's the good news. You don't have to open your Bible when you tell this story. Okay? I believe the Bible's true. How many of y'all know I believe the Bible's true? Please don't go out here and quote that Pastor Ayer said the Bible is not true, because here's the problem. I'm going to have a bunch of Baptists and I have to deal with a bunch of people that have issues instead of causes. Okay, I'm not an issue pastor, I'm a cause pastor. I preach because He lives. I preach because it changes lives. Causes. Here's the cause. God had a plan. How many of y'all glad to know God's got a plan? We got to start with God. I want you to know something. Faith starts with God. Somebody nod your head. Pastor Eric, you're now a graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Well, it was the, when I was there. Now it's Southern Seminary. Watch this. Where does all of this start? God. In the very simple verse, Genesis 1:1. Dr. Whittle. In the beginning was God. And you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I believe in evolution. Well, I'm not going to get in an argument with you about that. Watch this. When they say I believe in evolution, guess what I say? Let there be light. Bang. Here's my story. God created. The Bible doesn't answer the exact details of everything that went on. That's not the issue of the Bible. That's not its cause. The cause of the Word of God says, I made you. You know what my answer is to that? Wow. God saw fit to make me. How many of y'all glad God made you? I mean, get people there. God made you. God's got a plan. God made you. Genesis 1. Now, how many of y'all glad to know we've been made by God? Which brings on another question. If I've been made by God, why am I so messed up? Any of y'all ever ask that question? If God made me, why am I so messed up? How many of y'all are just messed up sometimes? All right, Hillview, here's what I just want you to know. Second part of the story is this. We got a problem. No, Dr. Earl, it's not that you got a problem and I got a problem. It's we got a problem. Debbie Ritchie, you administrate an elementary school. How many is over there, you know? You have 700 problems. This is your life. No, you really do. At Hillview, we have several thousand problems here. Brady, if you decide to get married, guess what you're going to marry? A problem. And guess what they're going to marry? A big problem. Your mother did that. And has what? Survived. Here's our problem, man. We're all sinners. How many of y'all realize that? And how many of y'all have come to church and we kind of say it like this? Well, there's those dirty people. I've even heard it at Hillview before, and it just cringed me. I wanted to, if I was back in the Old Testament, if I was strong enough, I wanted to rent my clothes. I heard somebody at Hillview say, well, we reach a lot of messed up people. Let me clarify this for you. Everybody we reach is messed up. Some are messed up in the church, and others are messed up in the bar, and others are messed up in the library. But here's the problem. We're all messed up. We're all kind of dirty. Boy, that just doesn't sit right with the holiness movement, does it? Because they got some weak theology. So you'll never get saved till you realize your depravity. I can't fix myself. That's the problem. I can go to church and guess what? I'll bling for an hour and then I'll dull out by Sunday evening. What do you think, Freddie? You did that for a few years. I mean, you folded your arms and got a real nasty look on your face. I'm glad that's gone. Amen. And the farthest he ever went was, the river. And now he'll go across the ocean. What changed that? Jesus helped Freddie get over his problem. Jesus helped Steve Ayers get over his problem. God is working through our problem. What's our problem? Can y'all tell people that we got a problem with sin? How many of y'all have sinned? I mean, how many of y'all really sinned? The Bible tells us this in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the what? Glory of God. Which simply says this, I am not at my full potential unless Jesus Christ is in my life. In fact, I heard one of my mentors this week, I was able to be refreshed and My mentor that I did my studies under, Dr. Leonard Sweet, who always has an interesting insight and stimulates my mind, he said the problem with the church is that we think God has come to make us more godlike. And he said, in fact, the very problem in the United States culture is we're all too godlike. We all think we're a god. We live in a culture that's saturated with many gods. He said, the real unique thing about grace is God came to make us a human being. See, I think this is where we are totally off base. God made human beings. And human beings have a problem. It's called sin. And God sent a provision. There's the third P. The cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that human beings could be restored to being human beings. You got it? God has graced us so that we might be human. We're created just a tad bit lower than the angels, but graced more than them. God loves, Paul, human beings. I wish I could answer why. I'd write me a big book and retire. But I don't know. I just know that God does love human beings. And so then we got to do something. We got to repent. And we're going to do that today. We got to repent of our sins. We got to repent. Guess what? We got to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I have not done what you asked me to do. I've broken your laws. I'm a sinner. But I do believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave. And I'm sorry. You see, here's the problem with this salvation thing we've been doing in the church. We're asking people to agree that Jesus died on the cross and resurrection. Whoop-a-dee-doo. All the demons in hell know that. No, we missed this other part. Repent. God, I'm sorry. I'm not lined up what you've called me to do. And then guess what we got to do? After I repent, look at where my hands are. Where's my hands? What do you do when you do this? Receive. You get. I like your theology better there, Linda. You get. You get. You get a new, full, and abundant life, Larry, that allows us to become, guess what? A human being. Brian McLaren wrote a book, said, a new kind of Christian. I'd write a book that says, a new kind of human being. We need to be a new kind of human being, God. One that loves instead of hates. One that is selfless instead of selfish. One that looks at the world and sees the hope of God and not the anguish of man. I'm not giving you some idealistic, positive approach to life. I'm sharing the gospel with you. Repentance is this, that we might come to life and we might live with one another as God has created us to live with one another. A new kind of human being. So you know what Hillview's filled of, Ms. Oakey? Bunch of new kind of human beings. The kind that love who? Jesus. And follow who? Jesus. Y'all, can y'all tell that story? God's got a plan. We got a what? What's God got? Prison. What do you got to do? What does that mean? What does repentance mean? Simply means this, to change your mind. I'd like to change my mind and no longer think like I used to think and do like I used to do. Now, I know a lot of y'all are hung up on doing stuff. I mean, I know you are. I mean, it's just the way you were raised. Such a cheap church I grew up in. As long as you don't drink, smoke, and do, you're holy. Watch this. I can quit. You're exactly right, Tyler. Oh, baloney. There's some good theology. Watch this. I can quit doing those things without a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can quit smoking without Jesus. I can quit drinking without Jesus. I can quit sexual immorality without Jesus. I can do all of that without Jesus. By the way, Adolf Hitler did none of those things. Purist. Maybe our moral purity is really just a cover-up for our immoral soul. And we just don't want Jesus to go that deep. So we rest in our own grace by saying, God, I never had a drink. He might look at some of you and say, you needed one. Maybe it would have helped you with your unloving heart to humanity. Your despise of those that aren't like you. You never understood me, church, says the Lord. God's open to love us, and He loves us so much that He calls us to a standard that changes our lives. And guess what? You'll do good things when you get God. But you better make sure you get it, Linda, so it's receiving it. God had a plan. He loves us. He made us. Are y'all fine with that? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad He made me. Come on, I want us to interact a little bit today.
And I'm glad he made you, brother. Well, I was really glad he made you. Amen? Huh? You're even more glad that God made her, aren't you?
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
He made you. He made you.
Mackenzie, God made you. And here's the good news. If he made you, then he can fix you. Isn't that cool? So that's what we're trusting. If he made you. See, some of you are going, oh, Pastor Harris, what are y'all scared of? What's the worst thing that could happen to your human being? You die and go to heaven in the church. Well, that'll cause you to throw a few Prozac away. It's not as stressful as it used to be. You ready? Look, I got to share the favorite verse of my whole life. What do they call this, Eric? Real holy people? My wife verse. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say if I'm real holy? This is my wife verse. This is the only verse I used to know. Because I'm not really, I didn't read a lot of books. I just didn't. I mean, I'm a great hope. You can survive eventually. But Joe, guess what you got to do? Repent. Which is, I'm going to show you, repentance is about, Jack, I had to repent in college. You know why? I did not apply myself well in high school. I limited my opportunity. And after my first semester of college, I about ended my academic career. So guess how I repented? I went to 055 study class. Well, guess what I had to do? I had to humble myself and had to say, you know what? I don't know how to study. So I need to go to the study class for people that don't know how to study. Well, guess what people that knew how to study called that class? A dummies class. And really, it was a very intelligent person's class, because when you don't know how to do something, if you're seeking to learn how to do something, that's called intelligence. A dummy is to ignore what's really going on. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. My favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. June 17th, 1989, I received a son. And God has been teaching me this verse for 17 plus years. Sometimes it's hard to let go of your son. And I realize that God let go of His son so that you and I might have life. That's pretty incredible. And He loved the whole world. He loved all of it. And He didn't... Look what He said here. He said that whoever believes in Him shall not perish and have eternal life. So you see, God had a plan. Y'all got it? He made us. Man's got a problem. We've all sinned. Thank goodness, Jeff. Aren't you glad God had a provision? Huh? Because you couldn't be singing those lies that haunted me if it just stopped there. God had a plan. He made us. Man's got a problem. And man, the song that you wrote is so beautiful because... When, you know, and I love that phrase, for years that you've done, the lies that haunted me. It's what the first sin started with. A lie. And then God's provision is Jesus died on the cross and He's risen from the grave and He's alive today. Amen? And we gotta repent. And then we gotta do this. We gotta receive. Or as Linda has told us, get it. Get it. Y'all got it today? I'm calling this time for an altar. The Lord led us 8 weeks ago. It was probably 8 weeks ago, the 1st of December. You know, we got to looking around. In January, everybody wants to change their lives. And we pastors, we're a little slow. I mean, look at us. We're slow. Faithful, but slow. And we got to look at it, and you know, we knew it the first year. Infomercials would be going crazy how you could take yeast pills or drink hot sauce and you're going to lose 5 pounds. You know, it's crazy, church. Man, I wish we were as committed to the gospel as we were losing 5 pounds. We thought after we told the church and reminded us of what our vision was, that on this Sunday, you know what? If you really want to change your life, the ultimate change I know is to ask Jesus Christ into your life. And trust Him to be real in your life and trust Him to work your life out. And we also realize that a lot of people have kind of admitted to that, and they've never been baptized. And we just really studied on this. And for us in this church, we found that baptism is really significant. You know, I'm not going to smack on other traditions. You know, whether you've been sprinkled, poured. You know, we dunk for a reason, because we're intense at Hillview. And we just feel for us at Hillview, we want you to understand that God has fully immersed you in forgiveness. And He has fully lifted you out of what you used to be to fully be a brand new kind of human being that follows Him. And Timmy, I don't have to preach it, because you live it every time the catfish fryer comes out and somebody else comes to the Lord. Timmy Young, thank you for getting it. And Brandon, you're done. You're going to get it. You can wrestle all you want to in the name of Jesus. He's going to win. Wrestle all you want to. He's going to win. Tim Murley, you and I are brothers. We ain't pastor and deacon. We're brothers. We've been in this fight a long time, but guess what? God is going to pour out things on this congregation that our elder body can't imagine and that I can't dream of as a pastor. And there'll be a few things, guess what? I can't sit down there and record them exactly out in a very logical order how they happen. And I'll just tell you what I really believe. If you have a God that's full of all, you can explain Him, it's because you're not worshiping the King of Kings. You're worshiping your own made-up God. I guarantee you, to this day, Moses can't explain how the Red Sea parted. Other than, it happened. So today, I do want to call our church. Balcony, I love you guys. I can see you. Y'all feel like you're here today. Amen? Wayne, thanks for being saved. Amen? Thanks for stepping up, big guy. I love it when big, burly, tough guys that used to be police officers get saved. Because guess what that sends? It sends to every one of you males that Jesus Christ is real. Men, women, I got to brag on the men a little bit here at Hillview. They've stepped up. And if your husband's coming to church, you say, well, my husband, I don't know how holy he is. He cussed the lawnmower out. Hey, it's a process. He didn't cuss it as long as he did a year ago. It's getting better. Amen? Love people where they are. Let Jesus make them better. And church, you know what? I think we got to repent today. How many of y'all, I want to preach on this. Jamie, I've never called a church to repent for the sins of omission. Oh, we love the sins of commission. But Carolyn, you know what? I've never called a church, you know, we need to repent for the people that we walk by every day and never tell them the story that I just told you. Gary, how come we don't care about that? I can't find one place in that scripture where it said, go there ye four and tell them not to drink. I can't find one verse. And pulpit after pulpit after pulpit has spent 100 years preaching that. I found when you preach a lie, you'll get a bunch of liars. But I've also found when you preach the truth, you'll find a church of freedom. Huh? Timmy, I didn't tell you not to drink anymore, did I? I told you that if you repent and follow Jesus, what'll happen? You'll become a new kind of what? Yeah. You'll be a new person. And God said, Timmy, here. Let me take that. That is not good for you. Here's why. I made you 93 octane from the get-go. You don't look good at 104. Huh? So God looked at Timmy, and Timmy said, Jesus said, whoa, Timmy, you've had too much wine. Here's some water. For some of you religious people, He said, here's some wine. Because you don't know how to celebrate. You a prude. You look like a Pharisee. You a whitewashed tomb. You a brooded viper. These are not good things. He says, I want you to be in my kingdom. And the wine ain't alcohol. It's new wine, spirit wine. Amen. Spirit wine. Holy Ghost wine. I want us to drink Holy Ghost wine. Make sense? The kind that intoxicates you to be a new
kind of human being. So if you don't know Jesus today, you've heard how to find him. If you've never been baptized, now guess what I know? What are y'all already thinking? Well, I can't do that right now. Yes, you can. We bought 100 drawers, gym shorts. We have undergarments that are ready to get wet. And we got robes. Ain't nobody going to see nothing but the glory of God. Today we're just going to open this service up. And where it starts at 8 o'clock is where it starts at 8 o'clock. Okay? I'll tell you what I'm willing to do today. If we got to stay here all day. And I got to tell people that God's got a plan. Because they got a problem. My loving Jesus came to heal them and forgive them. And if they'll repent and receive him and go ahead and declare it through their baptism and receive the grace of God, they'll walk out of here with a new life. I'll stay here till God quits that. If I can't go to Costa Rica with you guys because God wants to run that, so be it. If God says, I just want to open this up and I'm not going to stop. He says, Ayers, I tell you what, I'm going to wear you out and I'm going to wear Ward out and I'm going to wear Hale out and I'm going to wear Eric Baker out. And God says, if Eric Baker thinks his ankle's bad now, wait till he baptizes so many people that he passes out. And then after we're all tired, Reynolds will step up, He's a big boy. And God said, Jeff Reynolds, you ain't no big boy. I'm going to wear you out. Shane, you ain't been trained hard enough for what I can do. Angela, I'll hold you up. Kathy and Beth Ann, I'm going to wear you out. Scott Whittle, you'll teach so much you can't talk. Y'all see that new kind of church? That's a church filled with a whole lot of new kind of human beings. The kind that love God, nothing else. This altar's open. I'm simply going to tell you this. Jesus loves you. You and I are sinners. You need him in your life. Without him, you die. You end up in hell. That's gross and nasty, and God doesn't want you to go there. Then I'm going to talk to those of us that claim to follow Jesus. I think we need to pray. God, tell me who I need to share this with. That's everybody. Maybe you need to pray. God, my faith needs to... Would this be a prayer today? God, just let me be that new kind of human being you've made me to be. Because today, in the name of Jesus, I want every one of y'all in the ministry. I want you to quit worrying about teaching the Bible, and I want you to start living the Bible. How can my son understand this at 17 and we can't get it in our adult life? I had to proofread one of his papers, and he wrote a paper on Christianity, and he said, "If Christianity is more than teaching the Bible and preaching sermons." Now, this is coming out of the next generation. He said, the real Christian knows how to live what is said. In his opinion, everybody that doesn't do that is full of a bunch of bunk. And I agree with him. I've had one struggle for my whole life. Most church people are a bunch of bunk. They don't love. They exclude. They're intolerant, they protest, and they look nothing like the person in the New Testament. And I can tell you with all boldness and certainty, our precious Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for a church that would be just a group of people that would follow him in a very genuine way. I don't know what that looks like because I've never been in a church where a majority of people agreed to live that way. I've been in a church for 16 years where a minority of people have agreed to look that way. I just wonder what a majority would look like. You got it? For God so loved the world, he excluded no one from grace, that whoever believes that Jesus Christ died and has risen for them might be saved. They must realize they have sinned and repent of their sins. Oh, Jesus, I am sorry. And then they must receive the power from on high to be a new kind of human being forevermore. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to sit. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to let God do that.
But for those of you that are faithful, I am going to ask you this. I want you to do what God tells you to do in this meeting. Baptisms are going to start here in a minute. And even while those baptisms are going on, if this altar is full of people praying with people, that's fine. That's in order. Just let God have this moment. Amen. Jesus, you have been with us from the beginning of time. And you sure haven't skipped today. So, Lord, this altar is yours. This service is yours. This church is yours. Lord, pastors, can we denounce our ministry? I think that's been part of the problem. Every one of us got a ministry. We got a position. I don't want a ministry anymore. I want Jesus' ministry in me. I want to quit being scared of what happened Wednesday night, Dr. Ward. My Jesus was there talking to people in real places. So right now, church, whoever needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus, come and let's get a new life started. Who needs to be saved? Come and let's initiate that. Believers, come and pray that you would be the real human being that the grace of God's made you to be. This is Jesus' time. You take it. You take it.